Hey, you're listening to The Morning Show with Aaron. I want to welcome to the studio Ngaronora Nata. Good morning.
Atamari e te whānau whānui o Whaingaroa and beyond. Aye, what a wonderful day.
And the sun is getting up a bit earlier now. I could feel it when I walked out the front door, like it didn't feel so close to dawn anymore. Just the specific time that I go is always the same, so, or, you know, like everyone who goes to work, should be the same time.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, oh, well, I don't know. Each day is different. And then, you know, on the bigger picture is just being aware, really knowing that this is all part of climate change as well, that has a very big impact on how our weather patterns, on many things. But,
It's been a different kind of winter.
We've had an extraordinary amount of water, so everything's waterlogged.
Yeah, although we've also had a lot of fine days too. I feel like more fine days than we normally get.
Oh, okay. I don't know what's normal.
True, yeah.
I've just been in, I call it the Forest Temple, which is a track that you can get to. One of the places is Upper Wainui Road. And yesterday, and it was reasonably stable underfoot.
Okay.
But I did have my red bands on. I brought a pair now. I have a pair so I can go anywhere.
You're ready for anything.
I'm ready for anything.
Not in the studio, though. We don't need those in the studio.
No. I didn't wear them this morning. They're the track up there was surprisingly stable under, to walk on. So I was quite, obviously the water table that is receiving all this water is getting, is flowing and not upsetting making it too muddy for us humans to walk there. Which on another level, I also am aware that the roots of the nearby trees on those tracks are quite exposed. And I draw particular attention to myself of making sure I'm not walking on them, on the pakiaka, because they're so exposed.
Yeah.
More so than in the summer, the roots of the trees that grow close to the, that grow right on the track.
Yeah, crossing the track even.
Yeah, on the track, yeah. We're so lucky here in Whaingaroa that we have these beautiful tracks that we can also go on, and a lot of them are also, is it dog friendly or animal friendly? Dog friendly, you know. You can take your animals.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is great. So it's wonderful that we can have that opportunity to have these tracks that are cared for.
And it's good to find the ones that are designated for dogs as well, because at the moment, especially, there's birds starting to nest and chicks that are vulnerable and things like that.
Yeah. That, I think it's very important to be, as you say, mentioning that, you know, mindful of that. So we have all these other things that are, well, in nature that are happening, and often the dogs can be, not so friendly towards that.
They do their dog things.
Yeah, they do their dog things. The kuaka, which is the godwit, which has left our shores a while ago now, will be on its return now, coming back because of the spring. It will return to Aotearoa.
Is that the one that goes way up into the northern hemisphere?
Yes, goes to Siberia. Yeah, so the
crazy
kuaka
bird
will be returning. I remember when I was introduced to that particular manu, I was at the University of Waikato at the time, and we had initiated the te kohanga reo on the campus, and the kaumātua, one of the elders of the university, gave us the name Ngā Kuaka, which is the name of that kohanga reo today. And what he had said to us was, it's the nature of students to only stop for a short while and then they move off.
Yeah.
And, you know, that whole energy that is around universities where you might come in for 1 year or 4 years or five or 8 years, but at some point you actually leave.
Mm.
And so that was expressing how the kuaka does this, you know, it doesn't just stay here all year round. Well, it makes this journey to Siberia in the... Yeah, it just makes the journey to Siberia and back, which many manu do, the migration of the manu from our shores and back again.
Yeah. So you wanted to talk food security?
Yes. Yeah, so here in Whangaroa, many of you will be aware that we have a food security project that is now entering into its second year. And during the time of Matariki, we were able to sit down and do some planning. Of course, that's the perfect time to do so when the gardens are not so active or not active at all. Not by active, I mean they are, because they're the winter cropping. Mm. There's winter crops. Mm. And those winter crops which we still have on the Mara are primarily to fix nitrogen into the soil. And so they'll be turned over and the nitrogen activates once the roots are exposed. So that's a process that is part of the learning on the food security, which is where those who choose to come together and on a plot of whenua, of land, you work collectively with your collective mātauranga to grow a crop. So this year we will be rotating the crops. So where the kumara was, that will be for the butternut.
Yeah.
So we're rotating them. Rotating means you don't crop that same land year after year with kumara.
With the same plant, the same vegetable.
No, shift it. So that's what we're doing.
Okay.
And we've added onions to our... So we're currently, during the first year, it was kumara and butternut. And they were very successful. I don't know what success really means in some ways, because there's a whole level of like whether you weigh them, you know, you can, which happened, the weighing of the crop.
Yeah.
So how much production of a plant per plant, that was actually done. We did that. I didn't personally. So we knew what the quantities were and whether it was worthwhile pursuing or what was, you know, what that crop actually produced.
I guess one of the reasons, one of the purposes or measures of success is that it keeps the soil healthier too, to rotate the crops and not have the same crop all the time.
The people who are currently on this food security program are they're rangatira in their own right. They're extraordinary human beings to me. They know stuff. Their fingers are green.
They know stuff.
They know stuff. And I just, it's a privilege. And so when you gather like this, you know, you not only have this plan, but you have this unplanning of like, oh, well, we're not going to do that because we're going to do this. And we go, okay, and get on with it.
So food security generally is about, or food resilience is about growing as much food in our area rather than importing it with trucks. And is this part of one of the projects within the whole concept where are people sharing a piece of land or something to grow?
Yes, yes, they are. They're offering their land. They're offering their driveways, their car parking spaces. If they haven't got enough, they certainly realise that, oh, I better, you know, make more room because there's more of us who come in cars to these, well, currently at Merin and Rob's. I don't know whether it's Te Uku or Get There, sort of on the border.
Out there somewhere.
Out there somewhere, Warren Road. So as we enter into the second year, we will explore, or we will be building on Sunday, this coming Sunday, tāpapa kumara. So establishing a place where the tipu kumara can be grown on site, and then those tipu are what are transferred to the, they're harvested, but it's the growing, and then they become the kumara crop.
And they're stored?
Stored, yeah, we're getting to that. We're going through storage planning of, is that what you mean?
Yeah, after, I was just thinking of the traditional Māori way of, of course, it was so crucial to store it well because it had to last
Storing is essential for all of us, whether we're doing it pre-European style or, you know, just the cropping, once you've got your crop up as an organic crop, and that's the key, is everything about it is looking at whether the materials we're using are also leaching. Well, they're not, because we're not so interested in you know, materials that are toxic to the land, which is a detail. The detail of that is really important.
I was just thinking, because Te Māori Tau showed their film about, it was about the kumara. Anyway.
Oh, yes, extraordinary.
Yeah.
That's an extraordinary film, the Tāpapa Kumara. It's quite extensive, that... Rua, the pātaka, the place of storage. That was an extraordinary film.
Yeah, yeah.
Excuse me. So with the food security, the hope is, the desire is that you'll become inspired and you will want to offer some land if you have some excess whenua that you want to develop collectively.
Yeah.
That's the key. So
there's one happening already, and maybe others will happen?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope that we, you know, those who are aware of this food security project and some of the work that's already been done would like to come on board and develop another. Yeah, want them all over.
So
all over Whangaroa, you know.
So has this been organised or initiated with the Environment Centre, with Tanya? Is that part of her project?
Tanya led the last...
Tanya Ashman, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. She led that. A lot of emails.
Always a lot of emails.
Yeah. And how to not downsize that, but the communication so that it wasn't... more streamlined,
yeah,
for everybody. So we got to the actual, like, oh right, this is what the email's about. So yeah, we did some work on that.
I guess when we're kind of learning how to do things in groups again in some ways as well. It's essential.
Yeah. It's essential that we do that. We don't just. It's such a powerful tool.
Mm.
Kotahitanga, the manaakitanga that comes from that collectivity, you know. E hara taku toa I te toa taku tahi, engari he toa taki tini. So my strength comes from the collective strength. It's more about the collectivity rather than my individuality. And then, you know, that really... impacts on you know how we see daily life if we're always negotiating with each other.
It's
powerful way to live.
You also wanted to talk about a first aid rongoa walk.
Yes, I do. I'm actually going away for 8 days to witness the humpback whales give birth to their pups. That's just a side issue. When I return, which is, you know, when I return, my inspiration is that I'm aware that people are gardening in their own plots, but do they have rongoā in those in their home gardens.
Yeah. So this is medicinal plants.
Medicinal plants that they can fearlessly use, that their grandchildren can fearlessly use, can pick, just like they're picking rosemary and lavender and those common non-Indigenous, non-native plants, which have become, you know, very normalised. I really want us to adopt native plants that are from this area, that have medicinal properties on it that you can use as part of your first aid kit, and really, really be pay attention to giving them a really good spot in the garden.
So, tell us some of these plants.
So, I would be growing koromiko.
Yeah.
Koromikos can grow quite big, but it's also more considered more of a bush. Koromiko, what's its normal English name?
I think everyone knows that name.
Hebe. It's a hebe.
Oh, okay.
It comes from the hebe whānau.
Yeah.
But the particular one that I'm speaking about and I can see in my mind's eye is a white hebe. It's got a white flower.
Yeah.
Puti puti. Stem.
That name is familiar to me.
Koromiko.
Yeah, and I'm pretty ignorant about plants, so I figure if I've heard the name, then other people will have.
So a classic an example is, it's not uncommon for families, or dare I say uncommon, or not uncommon. So you have a bout of diarrhea.
Oh, yes. Well, hopefully it's uncommon.
Yeah, hopefully. But okay, so koromiko is a go-to plant. It's the new shoot that you use that can be chewed. I guess what I'm saying is, like, I would also recommend activated charcoal as part of the medicine kit in the house. This is just as absolutely as magical as this plant. For that. So don't just grow up because of that, because you might get diarrhea. Grow up for its beauty as well.
Yeah, well, look, I bought some pictures up here on the computer.
It's a really attractive bush to have.
Yeah, and you do see them around.
Yeah, I like them. I like this whole first aid kit, rongoā kit, to be much more dominant in our māra.
You should go to Palmer's Garden Centre and tell them this is the information about the first aid kit or the health benefits of all these different plants,
and
tell people when they're buying them.
Right, yeah. Right.
Well, I'm not saying you have to, but, you know, it's a thought. If people were, if the information flowed through there, that would be an interesting thing to do.
Yeah, yeah, then they'd have to go really organic, wouldn't they, for Raglan.
Okay.
Because a lot of these plants are hybrids or... They're made. So a lot of garden centres base their cycle on you coming back the next year to get their seedlings.
Yeah, of course. Okay, all right. Let's keep it. Let's forget that idea.
No, it's a great idea. I mean, I'm sure Palmer's would love to hear me propose that idea of a first aid kit that based on native plants.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Some kumaraho would be good in the māra. Of course, horopito, is that what I was...
Matipo.
Matipo.
Yeah.
Matipo is a really beautiful bush, quite a large bush, matipo. Matipo or māpo has a red stem. Yes, and you go, oh, I've seen that, I've seen lots of those. So that its particular nourishment is a heart medicine.
Okay.
It's for the plumbing of the heart, so the smaller vessels, the veins.
Yeah.
It cleans the veins.
Okay, oh, we're looking at pictures here now.
Yeah,
ourselves.
Yeah, matipo. Matipo is a delightful rongoā.
Bush sized again.
Yeah, bush size. I mean, yeah, is that that's one that I would advise people to consider.
Yeah.
The matipo.
Red stems, leaves, what are they like?
They're quite
six,
small.
7 centimetres long,
yes.
With a bit of a ripple in them.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys might, some of you kink gardeners will know anyway.
Yes, yes. And that's definitely another one that to have as in your landscaping. Matipo, of course, harakeke. with harakeke, it's good to talk to weavers around that fire annie who has been weaving in our community for a very long time and seek advice on which harakeke. And you go, what do you mean, which harakeke? Well, there's two main varieties. One is a mountain flax and a cooksianum, and it's not actually useful for weaving. If you were thinking of like, I'm planting harakeke so that I can have some mukka in the mara. It's, it doesn't have any mukka in it. So there are many other varieties that I can help you with that. I can help you in that regard.
And I suspect if you go to the garden centre, you're going to see all sorts of things that might not fit the bill either.
No. Your main source for harakeke is the botanic gardens. They love giving them out during the winter.
Okay.
Because they tidy up the pā harakeke area, and it's an extraordinary amount of harakeke that becomes available.
But there's also just lots growing all around, isn't there?
Yeah, they're not. Those ones are not particularly. Yes, there is. Yeah. If you want to stabilise banks and things.
That sort of thing. So you're not talking about that?
No.
We need, this is where we need images. Yeah.
There is a catalogue. I have a catalogue, the Reen Orchardston catalogue.
So specific harakeke for weaving, and then other harakeke
for... Just how you dress your garden. Harakeke, you know, it can grow very fast, and then you go... Oh, I didn't know it was going to take over.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you use that word, I call it flourishing. If you can call it taking over, I would just say, oh, it's flourishing. Oh, that's a shame.
Well, we want something that's going to be instantly, and it's not start off really little and take a couple of years to get up to our size. We want it our size instantly, and then, of course, it keeps going.
Yeah.
There's a really fast-growing hedge plant that came out a few years ago, and I see it everywhere now, and it's like, It's taking over.
Oh, it's taking over.
It's taking over now,
oh,
or not?
No.
Yeah.
So look out.
It's that impatience thing.
I will share more specifically details around the first aid kit of rongoa plants.
Yeah.
As time, when I get back from Tonga.
Okay. Are you going there as well?
I'm going to Tonga and then to Eua. There's four of us from this community. We will experience where we're going is one of the places that the humpback whales give birth to their
right,
pups.
Right, okay, I see. Yeah.
We're not staying on the main island. Tongatapu.
Yeah, that's the main island. Yeah. Eua is where you're going.
I don't know the islands. I'm looking forward to this.
There's actually a lot. We don't realise it until you get on. If you get on Google Earth and zoom around, you'll just see little atolls and islands everywhere in that part of the world.
It sounds incredible. I feel very, very honoured.
Yeah, well, that will be, you'll be able to tell us about that experience. So you'll be away in a couple of weeks' time when we would normally
chat? On the 20th, the 20th. I'll just check to see and let you know. Yes.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Was that everything you wanted to talk about this morning?
Yeah, I think so. For now, I think that's, so tune in for the food security. I know Tania is happy to share information. All of us who are on this project, so we're going to grow onions. That's right. Did I say that?
Yes, into the mix of the crops.
Out.
The crops
we're going to grow onions because organic onions are more expensive than anything else. They're too expensive.
You could use them to buy things with. I've got some organic onions. I can buy a car with these organic onions.
As you know, so yeah, please consider if you have whenua and you would like to come on board with the food security, I'd be checking in with probably not Tania specifically. Like I'm available too, and then I can.
But sometimes people like to physically drop into a place. They could come to the Environment Centre in the afternoons, and they can be directed from there.
I think so.
Yeah,
that sounds great.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah. Get away from the social media forms of communication and do real life in real life.
Yeah, real life. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thank you. Ngā mihi ki a koutou, ki a haumaru.